Do you remember what the other name for whiskey was that we talked about?
Other name for whiskey?
Mm-hmm. There was a nickname.
The devil's tit.
No, but it is now. That's my very best shirt. All right. Are we recording? We are recording. And I'm going to go ahead and say, Shelly, I guess this is the part where we're actually going to start talking about shit. Mm-hmm. So, boom. You ready?
Ready.
I'm an idiot. I forgot my Glencairn. Give me one second.
Wow. Is it in my box? See, it's like it's genetic, Mary Beth. It's genetic.
I love it. I love you both.
This is one of the episodes I've been waiting for content.
Oh, yay.
So I get to be nerdy with you guys. Okay. So take two, Shelly. All right, here we go. All right. Just warming up the vocal cords. All right. Welcome back to Blind Drams, episode 18. We are the podcast where I like to get my friends drunk and then try to get them excited about the Constitution. What? Maybe a party tonight. You guys don't look nearly as excited as I look. You guys went from like smiley, happy faces to just like fog, like real quick. Silence. Great. It's going to be a good episode.
This is like our eighth grade Washington trip all over again.
I didn't get to go to Washington. I never been. Okay. So pop the cap. We're going to start pouring.
I was waiting for like a longer intro. That's why. Yeah.
Okay. No, I told you it's a history night and I'm really fucking excited.
I'm excited. I feel like this is like a spinoff of what's that show?
Drunk History. Literally one of my favorite shows.
That's how I feel like tonight's gonna be.
I can see Amanda on Drunk History. Like you would totally be.
Listen, if they want to call and have me on, I am not opposed. So if anybody from that show is listening, I mean, I'm not a comedian or any kind of like whatever, but I can talk about some shit. Yeah. So
you like your booze. You know a lot of things. So there you go.
Mm. I had someone like laughing at me the other day because they're like, how the fuck do you remember all this like minutia, and like you can't remember like that I told you I was going to be an hour late today or whatever it was. And I'm like, I got nothing for you. I don't know how it works up here in this cranium of mine. It's a fucking mystery. So I can't remember the
important to you, and that just means that that person like
well,
is a priority. No big deal.
I guess
the truth comes out.
You know. Okay, so I had somewhere. There it goes. My tasting book. Need that. I guess we are on episode 18. I will not spoil it this time. I'm very proud of myself, guys, that we've made it into 18 episodes and I have yet to spoil it.
Yeah, I would have not been able to do that.
Nope. Same.
I'm really looking forward to the episodes you guys host.
I'm one of those people that like tries to give gifts before the actual day because I'm so excited. So I feel like I would like have to spill it because I'd be like so excited. Like it's so hard for me to keep those secrets for like gifts.
That is also how I am, to the point where Don has never gotten a birthday present or a Christmas present or anything like at the actual time. It's always early. Mm-hmm. Or he knows what it is before the day. Okay. What color are we looking at?
This is a lot deeper color than we've had in a while.
It's like the color of my walls.
I feel like it's a mixture between
Mary Beth has these really gorgeous, like dark oak, like
paneling. Mahogany,
like 70s. Well, they look like stained, I guess like a mahogany color.
Just don't look at my window that I haven't stained in like a year.
Girl, my internet, my video is not that good.
I would say it's between
yes,
dark amber, brick, and mahogany, like in that realm. It's kind of,
I'd go with like mahogany. I feel like that's pretty
okay
pretty accurate.
Yeah, I like it. Syrup, like sap, like
Sorry, I just saw like the 17C because it's on the same page as this one. Is St. Cloud. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I let you guys try that one. Because it's been so long since we recorded, Amber.
Oh god.
I still can't believe that. I was like,
really has been.
Holy I couldn't believe it. And we tried that and it was so good.
So how about the legs? How are the legs looking? I can't see through my glass once again. So I'm gonna trust you guys on this.
Like there's like nothing. Like there's no legs. Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, got one. That's weird. Oh, okay.
Too little. They're almost like so teensy tiny. We've talked about like shark teeth before. That it was one time. It's almost like that. Like little tiny, tiny little teeth.
Yeah, that's weird. That's different than I've seen.
Fun. Okay. All right. So see what we got on the news then.
Yeah, it's doing it now. It took a while, like for it to actually run down my glass. So
I know that there's some sites out there that were saying that there's really nothing you can glean from the legs.
Yeah.
But then other places were saying if it has a like no legs or they're fast, that it's a higher alcohol content sometimes, but not all the time. So now we got the nose. What's we got on the nose today?
My initial scent was sweet, but
yeah, there's something in there that's sweet. I went out of my way. I haven't had this whiskey since I poured it in your bottles. So I don't remember what it tastes like. So it's been about a year for those of you not keeping track of how far behind I have gotten in life. I'm going with sweet. I'm going to start with there.
Yeah.
Sweet. And then there's like, I don't know why my first instinct to say like maple-y, but like it's like maple candy, like that when once it's been like crystallized.
Yeah.
Something like herbal about it. Does that make sense?
Let me smell it again. I got the maple, but hold on.
But I can't figure out like which herb like I'm thinking of, like maybe like lemon thyme or something.
Lemon thyme.
Shut up. I got it in my garden. So posh.
Definitely burn your nostril hairs right there.
Well, don't stick your nose into the liquor. That's never a good idea.
I keep going, like, sticking my face in there further. Like, what else can I get?
Berry Bella.
Yeah. And just dump it in a bucket and stick your head in.
Yeah. Like, she got lemon thyme. I got nothing. What? I got a
good. Like, what am I doing wrong over here?
Come on. Think of something.
All I heard, Mary Beth, I don't know that that's what you said, but all I heard was like, she got lemon thyme and all I got was dick. And I was like, I don't know what your husband is. I haven't even had any liquor yet. This is awful. Okay. I'm covering my glass with my hand for a minute to kind of trap all the vapors like we learned. So I'm going to give it a couple seconds and then I'm going to give it another sniff while I read over some of these tasting notes. So actually, I feel like I'm thinking something like, let's see, this one has like leafy and greenhouse. So green tomatoes, violets, florist shops, green leaves, lawn clippings, green sticks, pea pods, fir trees, pine nuts. None of those are really what I'm thinking. Mown hay, dry hay, barn, heather flower, excuse me. I can't read. Herbal, sage, and mulch.
You're right, I feel like it's like a herb. It's very sweet, but there's something in there, a little linger. I don't know what it is, but
I feel like it's almost like a, you guys are going to laugh again and I'm going to go with it. Fuck it. Pineapple sage.
That's a thing?
It is a thing and it's fucking delicious.
Pineapple sage?
What are you putting that on and with?
That's what I remember right before the pandemic, I did Thanksgiving dinner. I made mom stuffing with all the sage and everything that she puts in there, but I used sage from my garden that I was growing at the old house. That was pineapple sage. Like you could pick it up and eat it. It was so good.
So weird.
Yeah. It's like, it's sage, but like a lot sweeter and like a,
My poor family gets no good food in this house.
Screw you guys, is what I'm saying. You so heathens. I'm dealing with
basic bees over here.
That's okay. My student also picks on me. He's like, I don't understand like the notes that you're pulling. Like you, sure.
I am definitely getting like a, like you, like, I don't know. It always makes me sound stupid. Like I feel like, oh, it's going to be wrong, but I guess there's no wrong answer, but like pear.
I could see pear.
Like it was when I held my hand over it for a little bit. And like the very first thing was that for me.
Yeah. I'm almost getting like a yeasty, like a fresh bread, like a one of those sweet breads, like a Hawaiian sweet roll type of thing.
Okay.
I was almost thinking like orange blossom.
I can see that. There's something that
but it's not quite as, it's not quite as pungent as orange blossom. So you said pear, and I was like, I wonder if that would be. I knew we had pears in the house at the last house, but.
My one friend, she makes Lebanese baklava with orange blossom. Mm,
that sounds amazing.
Like kind of like reminds me of this, or I would want to drink this with that, eat that because it's like a little savory with the baklava, but then the orange blossom on top.
Mm, I do love baklava. So good. Maybe that's what it is. It's like the apricot, like that apricot. You know what I'm trying to say. They put that glaze, the apricot glaze on top of the baklava to make it like shiny and sweet.
Yeah. Will you remind me what that like musty smell was that we were getting that one time? Like what that is called?
I mean, you can go with musty. You could say like a damp cellar or damp oak are some of the ones that I was going with.
Are you thinking of that one petrichorn or whatever it's called? Is that what you're thinking of,
Amber? Oh, like the dust after rain type of smell, like the rain smell?
Yeah, there's like something that I'm getting, like if I'm just like
I just got a big chiff of chiff.
Yep.
Going with it. I'm just that excited about this. Chocolate covered cherry.
Not me. I'm doing slow sniff, and it's like that I don't know if it's quite musty, but it's like that wet concrete almost like smell. And I'm like, I don't know if my nostrils were picking up on something weird.
Yeah, I could see like a petrichor type of thing, like that after the rain smell, mm-hmm. like a summer rain type of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one with my tasting feelings here.
Okay.
I've just been trained by Skittles for decades. So you taste the rainbow.
Yep.
I will slap you. All right, chocolate covered cherry. Are we ready? To take a little sippy poo.
Yes.
A sippa?
A sippa. I enjoy watching you too while you're drinking it.
Have we had this before? That has a lot going on. Immediately it burned. Still burning, actually. But there was like a lot of flavor in there and I need to do it again to like.
Because remember that first sip should be a small sip just to kind of like prime everything. And then start pulling flavors from the second one. Yes. So that way you're not like alcohol.
There's an aftertaste that tastes like what I was smelling. Like that, like.
Yeah.
Like that vintage jazz lounge taste.
Lingering. So like a smoky leather almost.
Yeah. Like yes. That's like what my tongue tastes like right now. It's not like in a bad way though. It's kind of like. Like a feeling, like a vibe.
Ooh. Amber's getting a sexy vibe over here.
Like I need some cat eye eyeliner right now.
I mean, I'm getting close to the haircut. I should have finger rolled it for this evening. Put my flapper dress on.
It's definitely got that like the apricot. Like I can like, if I focus on like thinking apricot, I can like taste that. Cause it's like, it's got this sweetness, but it's not sweet, kind of like an apricot, you know how like they're like kind of tart,
yeah,
but like there's a hint of sweet. It's kind of like a hint of sweetness, but
yeah, it's like that jammy sweet that you get with like the dried apricots is almost what I'm getting.
Yeah, That's very dry. Like it's like a dry taste.
Oh, it's gonna go real good with that brut champagne I got.
Yeah, my extra dry. My
so excited. Yeah. I'm still getting that chocolate covered cherries or like a candied cherry of some sort, but there's also like some kind of spice.
Do you know what?
Like a Christmassy spice, like the cinnamons and nutmegs and clove type of jam going in there. Sorry, I cut you off again. The next shirt that I make for myself is just going to be like something like you two talking, and I'm just going to interject every time because that's, I can't not talk apparently.
Well, you are the main host. You are the host.
Yeah.
This tastes like familiar, but it's like.
I will tell you that we have never had this whiskey before, nor have we had this distillery. Oh. So this is our first time experiencing this one at all. I don't think we have any more revisits this. No, I don't think we have any more revisits.
What do you think, Mary Beth?
The third sip, I think, was the least painful. I feel like the first two just burned. I couldn't get anything out of it besides I feel like I was just focusing on the burn so much. So I did get some taste. Like, I felt like I was tasting it the third time. But as far as what I'm tasting, I'm not really sure.
Okay, so I just did a tiny little sip of water and a tiny little sip of whiskey.
Uh-huh.
And it tasted very scotchy to me. Like it had, I don't know what that would have been. The oak maybe?
Yeah, I did like a palate wash and I think it tasted better.
I'm gonna bring the bottle over here where you guys can't see it.
This must be really
Yeah. It's gotta be high proof.
Woo! That'll get you.
Oh, that's what I'm tasting.
What?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Else?
What? I'm over here cheating. Don't mind me. Don't take anything I say next for my actual opinion because I just cheated because I wasn't thinking.
Do we know if it's a or a rye? Oh.
Do you want to guess? Oh, no. Hold on. I got to sneeze. See if I can mute.
That'd be really sexy.
This cat was already making that noise earlier. I threatened the sneeze and now it's gone.
I don't know. The only thing that's ever helped me with that, and it may not be relevant, but ryes are spicy and this is pretty kicky in the ass spicy to me. But I don't know. This is just, it may not be spicy actually. Maybe it's just strong. So maybe that's a different adjective that I'm.
Yeah.
The other one, I guess the spicy to me was kind of like when we had one that kind of tastes like the Red Hots, like the spicy hearts. This isn't that. This is just strong.
Yeah.
Bourbon. It's a bourbon.
You think a bourbon?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of ryes lately. And so I don't think this is a rye, but it could be.
Yeah. I think a bourbon. Because for some reason, across the board, bourbons have always been harder for me to drink. No idea.
So I honestly, jumping into this podcast with you, I thought for sure the bourbons were going to be where you were just like, it was your jam.
So weird.
And that the ryes were going to scare you, which is why the first like season was like all bourbon.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So this is like super flavorful. And this is another one. It's kind of like, I find it interesting that it's on the same page as Jesus Christ, the St. Cloud, because like it's doing that same thing, like where every time you take a sip, it like changes slightly and it's you just pull out something different each time. And it feels like a new experience, like almost with every sip or every other sip. Or is that just me?
I think St. Cloud was more. And what was that one that we had? Willet? No.
Oh yeah, you did like the Willet.
Was that the one that like kept changing? I feel like there's two of them that like legitimately I'm like going back and forth, but this one, it's not as like in your face, but.
Amber, you really did like the two Willets.
I did. I know. Speaking of,
such a tater.
Oh yeah, that is.
Yeah, it was we had the pot still, and then we had the 4-year rye.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that one.
Yeah, no, I've been sharing all my favorites with you guys. I feel like this is the season of favorites.
Aww.
Spent a lot of money on you guys this year.
You.
Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Oh, happy belated birthday, Amber. Yeah. I mean, I wished you a birthday on your birthday, but
you did.
I'm sorry if I did not.
Ugh, you did.
Happy belated.
I'm holding it against you.
Yep. Went ahead and started making some Damn It Amber shirts because, you know, priorities. And stickers. I showed you guys the stickers.
They're like stickers. They're like
they're like an inch by like 3/4 of an inch.
Literally have to get in a car crash for someone to read it.
Listen, they are. I was going to show you mine, but I have it on the back.
I can just see Amanda like, Amanda has it on her car and she's like, get off my ass. Get off. Why are you? Get off. And then she's like, oh, that's because I have a micro sticker on the back of my car.
No, someone, you're like in the car trying to reverse and someone's got like, what does it say? All up, and you just run it, back them over. That's horrible. I'm a horrible person.
The next one you order is going to be like the entire back windshield. You're like, I just can't get it right.
Very likely. Like you're big. Such an asshole. So my shirt will just be B and half the L on it. Amber's losing her shit. The whiskey's already hitting.
Oh no.
Listen.
It's a mess.
So what are we thinking about the finish here? Unless you have any more flavor notes you want to pull in.
I think Mary Beth is not amused.
It's a hard one for me. I'm not a fan of burns. When stuff starts burning my mouth, I'm like, okay, I'm good. Like I kind of like just tap out.
It's different if it's like only the first sip that does it, but then it's like,
yes,
it kind of grows on you. But if it just keeps burning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say I was sipping on this one when I first got it. I only had a couple glasses of it because I wanted to make sure I had enough. And this was one when I did choose to drink it, I would drink it over ice just because it was a bit in your face. And I feel like compared to some of the other ones that we had, the proof isn't that high, but I will say that it is definitely a higher proof.
Gosh, I would hope so. Yeah.
So I mean, you're not wrong there. At a nat, it's that time of year already. We just tilled up for a garden and I told my husband to make it the same size as the last garden. So of course it's twice as big as the last garden. So I don't know if we're gonna, so if you guys want to come over and grow some pineapple sage, hey, call it back.
Mm-hmm. Wow, adding a piece of ice to this did not make it better, Amanda.
Well, you got to give it some time because when you first add the water or the ice to it, it's going to agitate the alcohol. And so at the first, when you first do it, it's going to be like
hardcore. Angry.
It'll be angry. But so just give it some time, let it do its thing, have its little chemical-y reaction, and then try it in like a minute. So thanks, Eve Blind. I learned that from you. So
I mean, that's good to know. Like,
dude, if you can swing it the next time she does that class, fucking do it. Like, I learned so much.
Yeah, because I mean, I wonder how many people rule out like really good whiskeys or whatever that they would like.
Yeah.
By like tasting it on ice and they're like, ugh. And then they add some weird stuff in it and then they never go back and try it, you know? But like, if you just let it, I mean, I do that with my Manhattans all the time. I know you're not supposed to put ice in them, but like some nights I just like it on ice. Just, it seems to go, it makes me feel like my drink is bigger. And so, but like, if I leave it in the kitchen for a minute, I'm like, oh crap. And I'm like, if it was a really strong whiskey that we had, I'm like, okay, this is actually really good. So yeah.
I was actually, because occasionally I'll just watch people make different cocktails to kind of get ideas for whatever. And I saw someone make Manhattan the other day, and I've always seen people making the Manhattan and then putting it in like the coupe glass.
Mm-hmm.
And this person put it in a rocks glass over top of a huge cube, just like we would a old fashioned. I was like, I too have enjoyed my my Manhattans that way, but I've not seen anybody else do it that way. So vindication.
I've ordered these several times out, and they're that's probably like my favorite cocktail.
That's really good.
Like the old fashioned, sometimes I get like there's such a variation wherever you go.
Yes, I've experienced that, especially in Tennessee.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's either so good or you're like
nothing but syrup.
Well, I went to Anarchista, and don't ever order anything.
I think we have a full episode of you bitching about the old fashioned that you had on Anarchista.
Yeah, I think
so. It's like a full 27 minutes of the episode.
If you want one that will really kick you in the face, go to there's a place called Vita downtown Knoxville, and they have one. Oh, it's like a Cuban old fashioned or something, and it's got like coffee, chocolate bitters, and then like coffee infused whiskey or whatever. So there's like espresso in it. There's so much going on in that drink. I had like,
they took the idea from my coffee Campari,
probably
sugar cubes.
Yeah, I had like six sips of it, and I had an entire full glass, and I was like, I won't be able to even open my eyes tomorrow. It's not
all. I'm just imagining having espresso with like whiskey, and it's
like the very,
it's going to be much like this with the champagne. It's just going to go straight into your system. So the end of this episode is going to be fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully that's the dream.
I found it was, she called it, somebody made like a cocktail, and it was with bourbon, and it was like she made like a s'mores one. So it had like a roasted marshmallow, and she used the chocolate bitters, and then she used like a coffee liqueur in it, but I couldn't find that. And I can only find like an espresso liqueur. And so I kind of changed it a little bit, and I did the espresso liqueur with the Aztec chocolate bitters. And I think that was it. And it was phenomenal. Like you have to like coffee, because I did it for a tasting one time, and of course the freaking people who had me over I should have asked them, they hate coffee, so I had that as an option, and they're like, oh, it's disgusting. And I was like, really? It was like my banger, like, what are you? And they're like, we don't like coffee.
Oh, no.
Like, shit. But I've had them, I've made them a bunch of times, and I really like it. But it's just a tiny little bit of the espresso, just to give it a little a little taste. So
yeah,
I like it. Yeah, we got to do another like coffee or hot thing before summer gets here. Okay, so what is the feel on this one? How are you feeling? We could do feel and rating at the same time out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty relaxed. I think this is I feel like this has a high proof.
Yeah,
I'm feeling pretty relaxed pretty quickly. It usually takes me a lot longer. And I took little sips because of the burning. I didn't like take a lot. And it's taken a while for it to like chill. Like, it's not so bad. Like, I've been taking sips of water in between. So I get a lot of like caramel. That's what I'm getting out of it tasting wise. My mouth isn't burning anymore, so I'm glad for that. But I think I usually, if it's like my third sip in and it's still burning, I usually kind of just like stop at that point. So yeah, I think I'm glad that I kept trying, and I kept trying, because I mean, I know some people, even after like one sip, they're like, nope. So like, I know I tell myself like the first sip's going to be like, obviously like difficult, but no, yeah, I think it's good. It's not like knocking my socks off, but I think it's good. And I can appreciate like just the feeling of it, like being relaxed and chill and like warm and stuff like that.
I feel like this is like a spicy, like I'm a spicy mood type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it about it, but I'm like, I'm really feeling like Halloween.
Yeah.
Probably because you're scared to take a sip every time.
I don't think that's it. No, it feels like, I don't know, all the different Halloween candies you get, like putting your face in the bucket of candy, like kind of like that sweet because you got those Red Hots in there and like the spicy candies and the chocolates. That's and the
hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Does that make sense?
You have a real talking on my ass. About like when you say something, I took a sip right when you said Halloween and I like took a sip and I'm like, oh yeah, it's like the weather outside. And then it's like,
just the tiniest hint of fog machine.
I was just about to freaking say fog machine. I was like the weather outside, the freaking fog machines. And like when you're walking up to the house, the smells of all that's hilarious. But when I did it, my water completely, or my ice diluted it when I took a sip. And that
I want to make a candied apple drink with this.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Like soaking. I don't know how I'm gonna make it happen, but like a candied apple cocktail with this.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Would be a banger, as Mary Beth says.
Yeah, I can appreciate it now, luckily, but I am just going to be blunt. Whether it was cheap or expensive, I probably wouldn't buy this bottle. Just
for me, not your jam.
Not my jam. I'd probably have to add like a lot of like simple syrup or something in whatever drink I was making in order for me to like enjoy it. But watch me like love this cocktail. And there's like, you know what I mean? I say that, but like, because sometimes when you mix it into a cocktail, you're like, oh, this is magic. So I may be eating crow there. But in comparison to the other ones that we have had, this one was difficult for me to drink for sure.
Yeah. But it's definitely,
you know, I don't have the palate of a lot of people. So
anyways. I'm not sure how they're going to feel about having the tasting note of fog machine. But, you know,
level up.
Well, we do.
I mean, I get that, especially adding like the melted ice in there. That is weird that you said that.
So maybe that's what it was. It's like that Halloween feeling of like going, it's that whole experience of like going through the Halloween stores and trick-or-treating and having like just all that sweet candy smell in the air and the candied apples and the cotton candies. And
there's a lot. Yeah. That's really,
it's just, it's like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like not overstimulation, but it's like
a pinata.
I like it.
You should really do that for a living somehow. And then like, tell them like, when you design the bottle, it should have X, Y, and Z on it. Like the freaking,
that'd be too kitschy.
It's cool. I think it's cool. Anyways,
I have fun. It's a fun hobby. So I personally am giving this one a 3.5 out of 5. So okay. I feel like a 3 for me is like, I really like it like a daily sipper type of thing. And so I like it a bit more than that, but just because it is hard to drink straight neat, it's not quite a 4, but it would be if maybe it was a lower proof or had just a touch less spice.
Yeah.
Not that I think it should, because I think this bottle is just perfect where it is. I'd like to see an expression of this at like a lower proof, which they may or may not have. I don't remember. So I'll look it up at the end of the episode. How about you, Mary Beth? What you giving it?
You're saying like 3 is like your daily sipper?
Yeah.
So
this is just how I categorize them in my brain. Yeah. So you could.
I haven't tried this on ice yet. Like if I kind of want it like, because as of right now, neat, I would give it like less than a 3 because I just don't want to drink this neat. If I drank it on ice, it might be 3, 3.5, you know, but not that I haven't experienced it on ice yet. So from my one experience here, it's just too spicy for me to drink neat. So I would say less than a 3, like 2.5. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm fine with that. All right, so now we are on to our cocktail, which I got to change because I originally was going to have us do a Sazerac.
Ooh.
And then I thought better of it. And I was like, you know, it's already pretty. Like, I remember it being fairly spicy and then adding absinthe to it. I didn't think you guys would make it.
I had a night of Sazeracs and I don't remember that night, so.
If you want to add some absinthe and some chili pepper in here, that'd be great.
It's got any Tabasco? Just add some Tabasco.
Let me pull up the recipe here. So tonight's recipe is one of my own.
Really?
It is. Now, I don't know if maybe somebody else has come up with the same thing elsewhere. I tried to do a little cursory search and I couldn't find one. But this is one that I came up with for the conservation cocktails that I do on Twitter. Yeah. And then I changed it up just a bit to birthday-fy it for Amber and added some champagne to it. And so I've tried it with a different whiskey and it was very tasty, but we'll try it with this one and see how it works. So what we're gonna do first is a glass of some sort. I just grabbed my mixing glass and then some ice inside.
Am I gonna need
kids are still awake. A cheese grater? No, just like I just have like a vegetable peeler because we're just gonna spritz on top.
If I don't have that, can I like
a sharp knife where you just get just the yellow part, not the white pith underneath?
Okay, I'm pretty good at doing that. I love the lemon like twist with the so good.
Mm-hmm. It just adds a little something to it.
Yes.
We'll wait for Amber to get back. Okay. So we have some ice in the bottom of a glass of some sort.
Okay.
Just to muddle. And then we're going to throw 2 or 3 basil leaves in. So fresh basil leaves.
Smells so good.
This is one of my favorite cocktails without the champagne. With the champagne, it's very nice, but I feel like it makes it more like brunch.
Mm-hmm. So you put the leaves in first?
Yep. Just the leaves into the ice, and then you just give it a quick muddle. So you're just going to kind of enough, not to like shred the leaves or anything, but you want it to be enough to get those oils out. And then 2 to 3 dashes of the Peychaud bitters. I keep it kind of light on the bitters. I do about 2. And then 1/2 ounce of simple syrup.
Okay, 1/2 ounce of simple syrup. Mm. 2 dashes of bitters.
Yup.
What else?
You've got the basil in there already?
Yeah.
All right, so you're set. Now we're going to do 2 ounces of the whiskey on top. And if you guys aren't hammered by the end of this cocktail.
What do you call this? Like minus.
So without the champagne, I called it a catalyst. Mm. So it's a concept. Well, I mean, it's a science-y chemistry term, but a catalyst is like the thing that you add to the solution, if you will, to make something happen, to make the chemical reaction start. Generally, I may have that slightly off. All right, so you got 2 ounces of that in there, and then you're gonna stir it really good, 30 seconds, get it nice and chilled, and then strain it into your tall glass. I'm using a stemless flute.
No ice in the tall?
No, because we're gonna put the champagne on it. If you were doing just the cocktail, then I pour it over a big cube.
Gotcha.
But by itself, then no. All right, so. If you wanted to try the cocktail by itself before the champagne, you can try it now.
Oh, yeah.
Usually there's a little spritz of lemon in there first, but.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. It's like really subtle.
I love that.
Oh, gosh, I'm making so much noise. I'm sorry. So I put my lemon sprig in there.
So what we're going to do, if you're going to do the lemon now, instead of waiting for on top of the champagne, you're going to just like spritz the oils in.
Oh.
So you're going to express the oils in. Just like we do for the Sazerac.
How did you do that so well?
I know.
I'm like not even sure what you just did.
I know nothing.
So basically when you take your like vegetable peeler or however you shave the lemon peel off, then you face the outside of the lemon into your glass and then squeeze either side of it. And you should see this little mist of oil from the lemon just spritz in.
Oh, I dropped a piece.
Interesting.
So now I am going to put some extra basil in mine because I like strong basil flavor. Mm. And then, so I've got my spritz of lemon in there. I've got my lemon peel, my leaf of basil. And now I'm going to top it with the champagne. Here we go.
Oh, we're doing the champagne, aren't we? Okay, here we are.
Yeah, unless you want to like sip on it first without it, but
it's so good. I'm putting champagne in it for sure, but
ooh. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. This is, I think, one of the favorites that I have created. And it's so just simple. Woo! Hey, hey, hey.
What a beautiful noise.
Love it.
How much do you put in?
Just to the top?
Almost.
Mine's so big, so I'm not.
Oh, probably like half of that.
That was probably about 2 ounces, 2 to 2.5 ounces.
Okay. I don't want to kill it and then not get the flavors.
What a beautiful noise.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about the basil and the lemon together, but they're just two like super bright flavors. They go so well together. And then if you wanted more of the basil, you could always just take one of the leaves and kind of like twist it together in your hands to like break up the oils and shove it in there. Can you hear the TV?
Yes.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
Can you turn it down a bit?
My recording spot is right next to the TV. So that is my cocktail and I call it the catalyst.
I love it. Okay. Cheers.
Wait, cheers.
Wait. And all cheers.
Charles. Boom. So what you think?
Kick you in the toots right there.
Oh yeah.
We'll take you out.
Delicious.
Yes. So I love it like without the champagne, but I thought with champagne would make it very brunchy if you are trying to get some lady friends into the whiskey world. And you know, what is a birthday without a little bit of champagne, really?
I had to add, I'm not gonna lie, a tiny half ounce of simple syrup.
Did you not add the simple syrup already?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, okay. So you're going full ounce. So you're going, I see. Yeah. Wow.
Ooh, that is strong. I feel like I may have liked it before the champagne. Maybe it's just the champagne made it stronger.
Maybe.
Mm. It's like the whiskey sour with the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
We're living those days again.
Amber, you're gonna have you're making babies tonight.
Oh great.
All right, so we are in reveal time.
Oh, already. Okay, fabulous.
I know.
Oh, that means we get to hear the history.
I know. I want to hear about this.
Watch, we're going to feel so bad. We're going to be like, I'm sorry. We love it. It's such a cool story. I'm going to buy 25 bottles tomorrow.
I know. It is a really cool story. And I have had some of their other offerings. I'm not with this one. So I can't speak to how they compare like directly, but I do know that the other ones are really, really good too.
Are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm opening it. Excited. Oh, never even seen this one before.
Sorry.
Really?
What did I say?
Chattanooga.
It's a bourbon.
Wow.
It is a bourbon.
What did I tell you? So, that is so funny.
We are drinking Chattanooga whiskey, 111 proof, and it is the straight bourbon whiskey, the cask.
Cask right here.
So it says, handcrafted in small batches, our Tennessee high malt is made from 4 grains, including 3 select specialty malts. That was what I was like, oh, that's what I'm tasting, like the scotchy taste. For a distinctly rich and complex character.
Wow.
And so it is unfiltered single fermentation. Cask 111 is the unfiltered small batch expression of our signature Tennessee high malt recipe. Distilled from a single fermentation, each 6 to 10 barrel lot has been hand selected to highlight the subtle nuance of the distinctly full-bodied and robust straight bourbon whiskey. We hope you enjoy it as much as we do. And we are drinking batch number blind much. I can't tell if it's a one I or a one. It looks like 20I18R. But you know, the I's and the ones, very hard. And then fermentation number 18E15R. But I love how much like information is on this one.
Yeah. That's nice. I swear, but, like, I want to say I've seen this before. This looks a little familiar.
I've if you that- went whiskey shopping in Tennessee at all while you were here, you for sure did. So we actually have the mash bill here as well. So it said on the back of the bottle, no less. And it says yellow corn, malted rye, caramel malted barley, and honey malted barley. And then there's a word here, attemperated, but I don't know. So I'm going to look it up. Attemperate. It's an adjective, attemperate. Comparative, blah, 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 blah. Tempered, proportioned, properly adapted. It fermented for 7 days.
What?
What?
The fermentation on the mash was 7 days. So it says opposed. Cooperage, 53 sorry, gallon barrel.
Sorry. Opposed to like
a day.
Okay. Sorry. I was.
Or I don't know. Let's see. So it says cooperage, 53 gallon toasted and charred oak barrels. Filtration, none. Bottle occasionally captures barrel sediment. Age, greater than 2 years. And batch size, 6 to 10 barrels. I do like that they put the batch size on there for the small batch. Mm-hmm. Because it actually then means something. Because if you remember from like episode, what, 2, 3, where we talked about some of the key terms. Like when you get to the batch sizes, it's doesn't really mean a whole lot. Because it's not really defined. So. Before I get into the history, is there anything you guys want to add?
I am impressed by myself that I knew it was a bourbon. So
me too. You called it.
I don't like the fact that I know things are bourbon because I typically don't like them though. So I would like to figure that out, but not that I don't like them, but it's like, I'm almost like, oh, this one's super hard for me to drink. It's a bourbon.
Yeah. That's so weird. Because usually the bourbons are the ones that are much smoother. I hate that term. Or like easier for people to drink, sweeter.
My palate is more advanced.
But is it? I don't.
Nope. Not at all.
I can appreciate like you, bourbon. I don't know. I like rye now. Like I like all different ones.
I really feel like it depends on the mood that I'm seeking out mm-hmm. a libation on which one I'm going to head for. So like, I feel like if I'm just don't want to think about it, I'll go for like bourbon or something. But if I'm in like, I don't want anything with any kind of spice or like hard kick, if I just want to like easy sip, straight for the scotch. And then if I'm like, if I want something that's like really interesting and it's gonna kind of like play with the taste buds, I'll go for like a rye.
Right.
Generally. I mean, there are exceptions to everything.
Well, it's like you're getting a sipper.
I just noticed that my cheeks are the same color as your sweater, which is a very rosy pink.
like my champagne.
Like your champagne. I'm rosé today.
Aw, you're cute though.
All right. I'm going to go from memory on the first part of this. So the Chattanooga whiskey was a distillery back in the early 1800s, I want to say. And they, like everybody else, had to shutter their doors during Prohibition. And then a couple of years ago, the gentleman who now does the distilling and kind of brought Chattanooga whiskey back to life was kind of a big player in getting Tennessee distilling to be legal again in the state, because our state is fucking ridiculous. And I swear, I will find... I need to find a way to like get into sending out postcards or something to get people to vote to rescind these stupid prohibition laws that are still in effect here in the state. We'll get there. But he was big in like doing kind of exactly that, like getting into the politics of everything and making it so it was no longer illegal to
distill in the state of Tennessee. So you could legally distill here again because he wanted to do this and kind of reclaim our roots. And that is why I chose this whiskey a year ago when I did the research for this episode a year ago. So from memory, that's what I remember, why I thought it was really interesting that he did that. And I want to say it was back in like 2010, 2011, something like that, that all this happened. So like really, really recent. All right, I'm gonna pull up their website here and we'll read the bit. So the Chattanooga whiskey story, this is from their website, chattanoogawhiskey.com/history. It says, inspired by our city's rich distilling history, Chattanooga whiskey was founded in 2011 with the mission to bring back whiskey to the people. Following the success of our community powered Vote Whiskey campaign, we eventually became the first distillery in Chattanooga in over a century. In 2015, we began process of crafting our malt forward style straight bourbon whiskey we call Tennessee High Malt. After 8 years in the making, our Tennessee High Malt was released in August 2019, marking a new era in our company history with a whiskey that celebrates the future as much as the history that got us here today. So it says, in 1816, John Ross establishes a trading post on the banks of the Tennessee River, what is now the corner of the Market Street and Riverfront Parkway. The location becomes known as Ross Landing. Let's see. Then in the 1860s to 1900s, do you know what happened in the 1860s that was kind of big in American history?
No.
The Civil War. Don't worry about it. It's the Civil War. Nothing big. Yeah. It's fine. Chattanooga becomes a North American distilling hub with over 30 distilleries and 98 liquor dealers coming into establishment. Sorry, that was a mean trick to play on you. I apologize.
So mean.
I've just been doing a lot of Civil War research lately, so it's like on the brain. Okay, 1909, Prohibition in Tennessee begins. A full 10 years prior to the national prohibition, production of whiskey is prohibited. So Tennessee got a jump on the temperance movement, which was mostly led by women, and actually is one of the things that helped us get the vote. So people, the white guys who were allowed to vote at the time thought, hey, if we get these white women on our side, they're really against liquor, because the thinking was that husbands were constantly coming home like just hammered and not being able to hold down jobs or like tend to their families properly. And it was causing a lot of like strife. And so they thought, well, fuck it. The obvious answer here is just to ban liquor, right? And so they had this whole temperance movement that started. So the prohibition basically started with women lobbying it. Not doing it justice at all, but we'll get there. So then in 1920 to 1933, that's when the National Prohibition Act was legal. Do you know? I already know you're going to say no. Do you know which amendment to the Constitution made prohibition legal?
The seventh.
No.
The fourth.
No, I'll give you a hint. It's the number of this episode.
What?
Okay, the 18th Amendment.
I didn't plan that.
What? Dave. So the 18th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, it was ratified in January 16th of 1919. And basically it says, after 1 year from the ratification of this article, the manufacture, sale, or transportation of intoxicating liquors within the importation thereof, the liquors within the importation thereof into, or the exportation thereof from the United States and all territories subject to the jurisdiction thereof for beverage purposes is hereby prohibited. So you notice that it says for beverage purposes. So there's a loophole here that we'll get to in a second. So that was section one. Section two says the Congress and several states shall have concurrent power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So that just means that the states at that, like, so there's laws that are like national laws, right? And then we have state laws that maybe aren't the exact same as other states, but this prohibition was the whole US, not just one state. Because if you remember back a couple seconds ago, Tennessee, 10 years prior, had already enacted the temperance movement and prohibition. All right. So then section 3 says the article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by the legislatures of the several states as provided in the Constitution within 7 years from the date of submission thereof by the states of the Congress. So basically, excuse me, that the only way to change this is within 7 years by voting, which if you'll see the numbers, it lasted for 13 years, a very sad 13 years. So one of the ways that they got around the beverage purposes, do you want to take a guess?
Medicinal.
In the archive in which I work in here in Tennessee, I have a handwritten prescription for whiskey. And it is the coolest thing. And so I think it's from 2024. I've gotten permission to take a scan and post it. So I will do just that. Super, super cool. So doctors would prescribe whiskey or other liquors for various things, but because no distilleries were allowed to make it anymore, they had a year heads up. So whatever they could like hurry up and make in a year, they could make and then like sell to the US as like a medicinal stockpile. So that's it for like ever, because no one was really allowed to make it. There were a couple distilleries and I can't remember. There are some big names that were still allowed to make it. I want to say it was like Jim Beam or something. I probably should have looked that up before this episode, but there's like two or three distilleries that were still allowed to produce medicinal whiskey and everyone else was not allowed. So any liquor stores or bars or pubs that were still operating, they operated up until the day prohibition started. And then the day before, they started putting all the booze out, like all the bottles out on the street and just say, like, take it. Like, we can't sell it after today. It's illegal. So just take it. But doctors were prescribing it for pain management and making like elixirs for like patent medicines and stuff. There's a great podcast out there called Sawbones. And it's like the history of like medicine. It's a husband and wife team, and it's like comedy, and the wife is a doctor, and they get together and they talk about medical history, which I realize right now does not sound really amusing, but it is fucking hilarious. And
what is it
highly recommended? Sawbones.
Like, and all like S-A-W?
S-A-W-B-O-N-E-S, Sawbones. And like their catch line is like, don't drill a hole in your head, because trepanation is like one of their first episodes, which is drilling a hole in the skull to believe. Medical history is really interesting. I'll leave it at that. So if you want to learn some extra bits, there's that.
Well, this is the reason why you know so much nonsense, is because you listen to things that most people don't listen to.
Oles is a very popular podcast, okay? Another word for whiskey at the time was bottled sunshine. I thought that was kind of fun. And so another fun fact, I'm just going to throw fun facts in because I feel like I can feel your energy level going down, whereas mine's going up, because I'm like, history.
I love it. I'm letting you talk. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah. It says, so across the country on the last day, and I'm reading from one of my new favorite books. It's called Last Call, The Rise and Fall of Prohibition. And it's by Daniel Okrent, which I learned while reading like the preface that he is also a librarian. And I was like, checks out. Yeah, he's my new best friend. He doesn't know it yet. Okay, so it says, under the headline, Goodbye, Old Pal, the American Chicle Company. Does that sound familiar to either of you?
Chicle.
Ran a newspaper ad featuring an illustration of a martini glass and suggesting the consolation of a chiclet with, ready for this? It's exhilarating flavor that tingles the taste. So they were made to like, and like sold as a substitute for liquor, because liquor's no longer legal. Chiclet. So if you're missing the delicious flavor of whiskey, here, have a chiclet instead. I would slap a bitch. Like,
yeah,
I just.
Can you even find chiclets anymore?
The only place I've ever seen chiclets are at like the doctor's office where you like put the quarter in and like twist it and like four chiclets come out.
Like, you need to buy like a lot of chiclets in order to like have like actually some gum.
There's no amount of chiclets that is a substitute for whiskey. I'm sorry.
Definitely not. That's hilarious.
So, and then I thought that was a fun fact. And then it says one of the big, I guess, like illustration, like a person that they would use, what's the word I'm looking for? Like an icon, somebody that, an image that they would use as like an example of whatever they're talking about. So they called him John Barleycorn. Wasn't a real person, but like a symbol of like evil alcohol or whatever, the evils of alcohol. And it says, no one marked the day as fervently as evangelist Billy Sunday, who conducted a revival meeting in Norfolk, Virginia. 10,000 grateful people jammed Sunday's enormous tabernacle to hear him announce the death of liquor and reveal the advent of an earthly paradise. The reign of tears is over, Sunday proclaimed. The slums will soon be only a memory. We'll turn our prisons into factories and our jails into storehouses and corn cribs. Men will walk upright now, women will smile, and children will laugh. Hell will be forever for rent. So they thought getting rid of whiskey would solve all the world's problems. So basically what did happen, I'm sure you guys have all seen, you know, movies and heard about what happened during Prohibition, because obviously nobody ever partook of whiskey or gin or booze after that, right?
Right.
So basically it just started the biggest like worldwide syndicate ever, not like nationwide. So the idea of home dinner parties, which was never a thing before, is now a thing. The deep engagement of women in political issues other than suffrage, because so suffrage is women wanting to gain the right to vote, right? So that was up until that point, the only thing generally that women were really interested in politically was suffrage and getting the right to vote. But once Prohibition hit, they're like, oh, I got some more ideas now, guys. So there's that. And then the creation of Las Vegas started because of Prohibition.
Wow.
So interesting. Yeah. As interpreted by the Supreme Court and understood by Congress, Prohibition would also lead indirectly to the eventual guarantee of the American woman's right to abortion and simultaneously dash that same woman's hope for the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution. Prohibition changed the way we live, and it fundamentally redefined the role of the federal government. So basically, this is the first amendment to the Constitution that took away private, like individual rights. So before then, it was like big picture type of ideas, whereas Prohibition is the first time in American history, hands down, that it was like, you as an individual cannot do this thing. So it's the first time that we like policed ourselves that closely. And then 13 years later, we repealed it because it didn't work and we didn't like it. And people liked their whiskey and their gin. And so, and all that information came from just the prologue. I'm not even in chapter one yet.
Wow.
So if you too are into super obscure whiskey history, it's an awesome book. Highly recommended. But that is basically what I wanted to hit on for Prohibition today, just as cool little facts. Yeah. How you guys feeling?
I love all your stuff.
I'm toasty. I had a picture. I like had a hangnail. Now it's like killing me. I had a picture here of the prescription, Jesus.
Oh yeah. I would
love to. And I was gonna share it, but now I gotta figure out how to get it to share.
When stuff like that is stored at where you work, like how is it stored?
So this is actually part of a scrapbook that somebody put together, I want to say in the 20s or 30s, but this is just people who saved shit in scrapbooks or in little keepsake boxes or your cedar chest or whatever. And were just found later because someone was like an archivist was rummaging through stuff. So we had a donor who donated his and we purchased part of his family's records, I guess you could say, because they were one of the first families in the area. And so they had records going all the way back to like the late 1700s. They had got the land here in Tennessee during the American Revolution or just before. They were trying to figure out how to get people to move south and west. And so the government would come together and be like, hey, we got hundreds, millions of acres available all the way around. You want to go steal some shit from some Native Americans? Let's do that. Here, why don't you go ahead and go down, claim some land, and we'll put your name on the deed and it'll be great. And so that's basically what we did. And so this family has been, I don't think this family did that, but that was not uncommon. This family got that land and now the family still owns a large portion of this land, but not as big as what they were basically just gifted from the US. And so they've got this farmhouse and a huge collection of just those steamer trunks that anytime a grandparent would pass away, they would put all their stuff in that steamer trunk, all the letters tied up in ribbons and photographs once photographs became a thing, or the cased images when that was a thing, and film, videos, little lockets of hair. One of my favorite things from this collection was one of the family members was a doctor right after the Civil War. And so he has this whole medical kit. And so we actually have vials of morphine and laudanum, which is opium, and lots and lots and lots of opium and cocaine and stuff like that, like in the collection. And so like, it's part of my job is to like, look at these things and go, okay, well, laudanum, I know exactly what that is and what it makes up. I'll research it. Here's how we can handle it. Is it sealed? Is it not sealed? Do we have the capacity to manage it properly and keep it secure? Or is it too much of a hazard? Is the bottle the important part? Is it the drugs inside? My job's super cool. I love my job. And so one of my favorite things about that collection was I found this this letter, and it was squishy, which is never a good thing when you get to letters. And I open it and it's a letter and then a folded letter inside. And there's like four layers of that. And then finally a newspaper from 1860s, 1870s, somewhere in there. I forget the exact time, but it was right during the cholera outbreak here in Knoxville, or right before it started. And because this guy was a doctor, he mailed some cholera pills to his family. And he's like, here's 12 cholera pills, go ahead and take them. And they didn't, I guess. And so there's still these 12 like hand-pressed cholera pills in the kit. So cholera was a really deadly illness that you would get from drinking like infected water, or it's basically spread in the fecal oral route. So poo somehow gets on you, and then somehow that poo makes its way to your mouth. And so then you get like really nasty, like vomiting and fevers and chills and diarrhea. And it during that time was incredibly deadly because we didn't know about washing hands and we didn't know about germ theory at all. It wasn't really a thing yet. And so people would just catch this, just tons and tons of people were dying. Like it was a huge, it was killing just hundreds of people, especially like really small, like kids and like older adults.
I wonder what was in a cholera pill then?
Oh, so that's fun. So it's got like quinine, which is the same thing that's in like the tonic water. And then it had morphine and there was something else like cocaine or something. And I was like, well, it didn't do anything, but you felt good. Like that's honestly all of the medications from that time. It's like, it wasn't a matter of if it actually cured you. It was all about like, did it make you feel anything?
Right.
So did it make it feel like, so a big thing was medication at the time, they would give you, no matter what it was, they would either bleed you. So they would cut you open and just like bleed you because they thought you were too hot or too cold or whatever. medicine during this time is wild. And then another way was they would give you something that would make you puke, or they would make you poop, or if it felt like it was doing something, they thought it was doing something, even if it wasn't.
Yeah.
And the wildest thing to me is, like, especially listen to the Sawbones episodes, you hear a lot of like these old timey stuff that they were touting in like ancient Greece. They're like, it was one of them was like, I can't even think of an example, but it's like, okay, well, this thing will just make you puke a lot. And it's like the same thing that you hear like those certain groups nowadays suggesting, and they're like, it's all natural. They've been doing it. It's been around forever. And it's like, yeah, but it didn't work back then either. And it's the only reason that they used it was because they didn't know that it didn't do shit. It just made it feel like it was doing something, but didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get down off my soapbox now because I could talk about this for a while, and I can see you guys glazing over and Amber's falling asleep and with a grimace, which is really nice.
No, I'm trying to figure out what that meant right there. I'm like,
so medicine just really weird. I tangented kind of far, but it's like the same thing as like they would say like whiskey would cure a sore throat, and it doesn't. It just makes you feel good. Like, it doesn't cure anything. It just makes you feel good, right? So you drink a hot toddy, not because it's going to cure your sore throat. You know it's not going to cure your sore throat, but it's going to maybe numb it. It It just makes you, it makes you feel good. So you care less that your throat hurts.
Right, right.
Right. So a lot of old medicines were like that. And whiskey, that's generally how it was used for medicinal purposes during this time, was it, like, they would just get you real drunk before they cut your leg off in war, in battle, because you had, you know, your leg was completely shattered from a fucking cannonball that you got hit with, right? And so they would just get you really drunk, and they would tell you to bite down on a strap of leather or a bullet, which is where the term bite the bullet comes from. And so they would have you bite down on that, so that way you wouldn't shatter your teeth. I don't know why a bullet would work on that. Personally, but then they would get you real drunk, so you just didn't care as much about your leg being sawn off. And if you think about the time, they really only had like little hand saws. Wow, we're gonna get so many hits on this episode, I can tell. So they would just like literally like saw your leg off. They have special saw bones to saw your bones, which we have in the collection as well. My job is really cool, guys. I love it.
You want to check out that podcast though, like, just to, like,
so good. Like, I think it's one that even you would like, Amber. Like, they make it really approachable because the husband, he reminds me a lot of like how Don and I interact when we're in like a really goofy mood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nothing but like sass and like smart ass jokes and goofiness. I love it.
It helps right, like, there with it. Like, keep your attention on something kind of intense.
Yeah, you know? And they're only like 30 minutes long. That's so good. They're pretty quick.
Yeah.
And you learn some fun stuff.
I have to check that out.
And
I'm always looking for
They have highly suggested.
Yeah.
I'll shout them out. I wanted to see if I can get Sydney, Dr. Sydney, on one of our podcast episodes to talk to us about whiskey as a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
I love that
crossover. So I want it to happen. So we'll see. So we'll see how it happens. So, but that's all I got for you today. I'm sorry that we went real dark there. So our listeners may never come back again, but we'll keep
recording. You did mention Halloween, so everything's kind of all tied together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very dark and creepy. Why isn't this our Halloween episode? I could just hang on to it until October.
Your little cheeks are pink.
So pink. Yeah, I'm trying to stop myself from talking more because you've caught me on my subject, because I can talk archives and preservation and history,
like, obscure history. I love it.
I love it. I love getting like the cliff notes of it, because I wouldn't be able to sit down and like read that book that you're reading, but like, I would love to like get the cliff notes version from Amanda. So
yep.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I studied art history in college. So not that it's the same, but a lot of the things that happened in like the Civil War, like real times, like then artists would create things based on what was going on during that time. So I like find all that stuff very interesting. And now I work with my husband in a plumbing company, which is not what I did in college or like my career. So to go back to like listening to your stories and that history, it like brings me back to like years past. And I'm like, yes, I used to, like, it used to be a part of me. Now I talk about like toilets and hot water heaters. So it's not,
I'm gonna throw this little fun fact in here for everybody is, so one of the buildings that I work in was built in the 20s, mid to late 20s. And it has undetermined when the toilets went in, but there's one toilet in the entire fucking building that is really interesting looking. And I thought it looked so cool when I was at work one day that I took a picture of it and sent it to Mary Beth. And I was like, I don't know. I think this toilet just looks really cool. I felt like you would also appreciate this toilet.
And she's, like, what was so weird about it?
It's just very like art deco-y.
That's my life, is toilets now.
Well, I figured between like her art history and like,
it's like me, her mashed into a wall is art and toilets.
Here, I got it.
I am Marcel Duchamp for real life.
So you ready for pop quiz time?
Oh God.
Which amendment to the Constitution gave us prohibition?
18.
You'll never forget it.
This episode.
So proud of you, Amanda.
And then what was the name of the person that like the figure that they used at to show like the evils of alcohol?
Oh shoot.
Something Barnicorn.
Ooh, yes.
Barnicorn.
John Barleycorn.
Barleycorn.
Mr. Barleycorn.
Do you remember what the other name for whiskey was that we talked about?
Other name for whiskey.
Mm-hmm. There was a nickname.
The devil's tit.
No, but it is now. That's my very best shirt. Bottled sunshine. Devil's tit's way better.
Very different. Very different perspective.
And what is your new favorite exhilarating bubblegum?
Chiclets.
Chiclets.
Yes.
So who's going to be on the hunt for those?
So, okay, when I think of chiclet, somebody in my high school, I swear they called her chiclet teeth. And I can't. That was a thing, right?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not a nice thing.
I know, I feel bad.
Wasn't on like Dennis the Menace or something?
Yeah.
Chiclet it was. Or something.
Good call. Yeah. Well, you guys passed your quiz. Thank you for letting me nerd out. I think next episode is also a solo. Yeah, the next two. So we'll get more prohibition history and fun facts. And I am trying to see if I can get some local scans of some stuff from the archives. That's and cool. So I'm going to see if we can make some like postcards or something out of those. So we'll see. I don't know. Did I if anything, I'll be able to share them on the Instagram page.
Yeah.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Did I miss how much this bottle was?
Oh, so it depends. You can get it. I saw it for between 35 and 45. There's two different prices at Total Wine, depending on which location you go to, but I can't see which location either one of those are, but I do see it generally between 35 and 45. So I think this one makes a really fun, like interesting cocktail.
Yeah.
If you like cilantro, the other cocktail that I made that was very similar to this one that wasn't also no champagne, but it was the 2 ounces of whiskey, half an ounce of simple syrup and cilantro muddled in with like a squirt of lime. And that one I called the surfactant.
So is that what we're doing for Cinco de Mayo?
We should, but that was my joke because surfactant is soap. And if you don't like cilantro, you say it tastes like soap.
Is that what you call the drink?
I sure did. Yep. That is the conservation cocktail is fucking called surfactant.
And people got it, right? Like people.
Oh, yes. Yes. This is why we have the podcast, honestly, is because everyone that was following my conservation cocktails were like, yes, queen. And it made my ego way too big. because I'm into weird puns and stupid dry humor. I'm all about it.
So they are not dad jokes in my house. They are mom jokes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. That's accurate.
Come by that honestly, though, because I feel like that was also how it was in our house.
Mm-hmm. I love that you call the drink that. That's a really funny.
I feel like naming the drink is half the fun. So, mm-hmm.
What was the name of this one?
Catalyst.
That's right. Okay.
So it's like something that changes a chemical reaction or makes a chemical reaction start.
Years.
I'm also a cocktail of two in, so probably don't take my definition for that. Face value.
This one with the champagne will get you. Like
will. It's hitting me and I'm like starting to fade. But that's all I got for today. Yeah, this cocktail is also really good without the champagne. So either way, I feel like adding champagne to the top of the cocktail just kind of like shushers it up. Mm-hmm. As I slur through that word. Anyway, the that's last hilarious. Thing I was going to say about the Constitution tonight, because that's where I'm at still mentally, is there's actually, if you go to constitutioncenter.org, there's actually an interactive Constitution that you can play with. As I, if you're a fucking nerd like I am, it's a lot of fun because you can learn, it does it in like plain English and you can play around and like select between. It's fun. And then there's like people that you can ask questions to and they'll answer it. Don't judge me on what I do in my spare time. Fuck you guys.
Like, what spare time do you have that you're doing this? Like, I'm like, when would I? I'm not even sure.
Listen, when my husband is watching people mow grass on YouTube, that is when I'm sitting here, like, reading about the Constitution because we're living our best fucking life. Okay? Don't judge. It is a madhouse here in the Richards home.
That's great.
I've just lost all respect. Like, everyone who listens to us has just lost all respect for me. All right. Well, I'm done. I am finished. Unless you guys
don't drink that whiskey if you're trying to like stay up all night, is all I've got to say. Because that.
No, I am ready for bed. I'm struggling now. And I'm not even done with my cocktail. Like, I'm.
No, I don't think Amber drank any of hers.
I'm not gonna lie, the champagne I think made it slightly too strong for me, but I did drink about half of it.
Just add more whiskey, it'll even out eventually.
Add more whiskey. But I feel like some of them that we've had have been like a more upper whiskey where like I feel playful or I feel like I could like go dancing or whatever. This one's like I'm like beyond campfire mode. I'm like, let's like curl up.
I am in my sleeping bag, like cuddling the husband.
You shush your mouth. I was gonna say I'm like in a sleeping bag, zipped up, and no one like will be ever be able to find me again because I'm so tired. I'm so relaxed. Like, but yeah, this is not like.
I also feel super warm. Like my face. Can you see? It looks like I'm wearing like obscene amounts of blush, and I'm not. fucking toasty. My face is naked. Okay. I am also a very pale person. So this is, I'm the same color as Mary Beth's very pink, rose pink, sweater. I'm toasty. It's hot. And, this is sleeping naked in the sleeping bag.
For sure.
Toasty feeling.
Yes. So definitely don't drink it if you're trying to go out for the night because fall asleep in the middle of your
life. It's right up there with the 1792. Mm-hmm. Amber just like her face went from like smiley laughy to like just deadpan.
Don't go
she
there.
She had like some World War II flashbacks there.
Yeah. It was not a good night for me.
All right.
Shouldn't have had 12 shots of that. Just kidding.
Yeah, you live, you learn. All right. So in the show notes, I'll have the sources. Don't forget to follow us on all the social media sites. We are at Blind Drams on all of them except for Twitter at blind_drams. You can now buy us a glass of whiskey on that one that will also be in the show notes because I am now too inebriated to remember the handle for that one. There's also a PayPal me, which will again be in the show notes. And Patreon. We have some cool some cool things going on there. If you are a patron, I think it's $3 a month or more, then you get the next day, the day after we record these, they go up unedited. The video, the Zoom video goes up unedited. So good luck on that.
Yeah, good luck. Because
they're like, I can't handle you guys for 2 hours. Otherwise, yeah, there's also some cool t-shirts that we're coming out with. Got the whole like Damn It Amber shirts coming out sometime. Got some stickers. I was trying to find out some, yes. Some, are we making socks too? That's cool. I didn't know. Great. And then where I was also looking at some enamel pins, trying to make some pins because I really feel like a Damn It Amber pin would look real good on my lanyard at work. Other than that, I think that's it. Go ahead and leave us a review on whichever site you are listening to us on. Send us some messages on things you want us to drink or talk about. If there's any cool whiskey history you know about that we haven't mentioned yet, that'd be cool. I think that's it. I don't know. I'm struggling now. I'm ready for bed. It's 10:40. I love you, ladies.
Love you. Key.